Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Allergy Therapeutics preliminary results. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday the 26th of September 2016, and I would now like to turn the conference over to speaker today, Manuel Lobet. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Is it really nice to see every year more and more people here, and you are all very welcome. We are ready to start. We start this year with a new FD. I think all of you have met previously Nick Weichmann, and he will take us through the financial highlights. So up to you, Nick.
Thank you, Manuel. Good morning, everybody. As you've seen from our trading update, which we released earlier, we've had a 19% increase in revenue at constant currency to 51.5 million, up from 43.2 million in 2015. That represents a 12% growth in actual terms. Overall, our core business, excluding R&D, increased 11% to an operating profit of 4.3 million, up from 3.8 million last year. We have significantly increased our R&D investment at 16.2 million this year, up from 3.1 million last year, which reflects the investment in the PQ registration, both in the US and in Europe, and our pipeline, which Manuel will talk about later. We successfully raised 11.5 million gross through a fundraising in November of last year to invest in our new product development and our organic and inorganic growth opportunities. We ended the year with a strong cash balance of 23.4 million, up from 21.2 million in 2015. I'll now hand back to Manuel.
Thank you, Nick. I'll just read the operational highlights, which are increased market share in our main European markets to 12% from 10% last year, achieved primary endpoint for Polynex Quadro Birds phase 2 dose finding study in Europe, and we have selected the dose that we'll take into phase 3 starting in 2017. We got inconclusive results of the dose finding phase 2 study for Polynex Quadro grass in the US. Acarovac Quattro and Acarovac Plus. With Acarovac Plus, we announced the results of 1 year follow-up study showing statistically significant improvement for patients. And last issue was the acquisition of BLP technology for the development of a potential new injectable vaccine immunotherapy treatment for peanut allergy patients. If we go to the next slide, that's a special slide that is not usual in our presentations, but we thought it was worth to mention that this has been an extraordinary year in the immunotherapy field. We have seen some issues that will have probably a profound consequence in the years to come and can change the competitive landscape. You know all of them, but there were severe disruptions from a main slit European competitor that has transformed market shares in many countries. We got a failure of a pivotal phase 3 trial from a UK biotech company in the cat allergy field that also has consequences in the future of the development of the US market. A key German competitor in November was announced that had been put for sale. And the latest one was the news that Merck Sharp & Dohme returned the license lead tablets to the European manufacturer based on disappointing sales in that segment of the market, in the lead segment of the US market. These facts are really strategic facts that we think will have long-term consequences in the competitive landscape, and we feel that in some way almost all of them favor our long-term strategy. So let's review our long-term strategy. You know, we have talked about this many times in slide number 6, based on 3 key points. First of all, we are building a strong, reliable, resilient, sound, thriving European business. I like very much this chart here. We will be nearly 20 years growing almost at a compound annual growth rate of almost double digit, which means that our business is strong, robust, reliable, and that's progressing really well. In the U.S., as you know, we've got a small delay of maybe about 12 months because we'll have to do another dose-finding study for PQ grass, but we'll still be the first company to reach the U.S. market in the skid segment. And we are progressing well in new therapeutic areas that we are developing in our pipeline. If we take a quick look and in each of these strategic areas, in Europe, we've been growing almost 20% in euros at a constant rate, 12% after net exposure on FX. And this growth has been in a flat market. I think this is interesting because the dynamics of flat markets are very different from dynamics in markets that grow. When the markets are growing, everybody is happy, even you grow 3%, 4%, or 10%. But if we grow 19%, somebody is losing 19% market share. And this has consequences on the way our competitors are facing next business year plan. So if I got more sales, I can invest more. If they have less sales, they will have to think about if they want to preserve margins or if they want to preserve market shares. So that I would say that's interesting because the dynamics of flat markets are very different from the dynamics of markets that are growing, and we are clearly a winning company in a flat market. As a consequence of this, we got 2 additional market share points this year. That was unprecedented, at least since I joined the company 7 years ago. We expect to keep taking market share from competitors in the years to come. We have added a 3rd bullet point here that we would have not had in normal circumstances, but we think that this year has been, as I said, extraordinary. So we have showed supply chain integrity and unparalleled customer service. We all take this for granted, but as you have seen, it's not taken for granted for many companies. So neither for us. I mean, we are constantly working and obsessed with compliance, with having in place the right processes and everything state of the art to really become the most reliable company in the field. And we think we are. We have been delivering 99.9% customer service on the orders we received. And this that we should, we always think that that's something that we take for granted. It has become a formidable competitive weapon this year, and it's been also part of our success in taking market share from other competitors. The Allergopharma acquisition, the small company we bought last year in Spain, has been fully integrated, so we are now operating as a single one company. We have merge the portfolio, design a unified strategy, one single commercial team, one single back office team. This acquisition has transformed our presence in our second most important market. As you know, our first market is Germany, second is Spain, where we had a marginal presence. Now we doubled our market share. We have a 6% market share. That's still low, but at least is the right platform and the right critical mass to fight for a leading position. So it's been an eventful year in competitive landscape, and we think we have taken almost all the opportunities we had in front of us to perform and to make our company a better company. In slide number eight, I'll just spend half a minute. You have seen this one many times, but we've been working for the last, I think, 10 years trying to diversify a little bit the source of revenues in terms of markets and products. When I arrived to the company, I think our dependence on the German market, it was about 75%. German market is absolutely key for us, and it's very important, and we are very happy to have a strong presence there. But we also want to get a more diversified source of revenues, and this is what we are doing. As you can see, this year we are below 60%. And something similar with products. Polynex Quattro last year was about 50%. This year is 45%, and it's not because Polynex Quattro has not performed. Polynex Quattro has been growing double-digit, but we have also a very nice growth in other segments of the market and also some inorganic growth that has diluted Polynex Quattro position. Let's take a look now in page number nine in the U.S. In the U.S., there's been also a very, very interesting year. The recent developments in the U.S. show strong demand for products that improve patients' adherence. Regulators are clamping down on manufacturing standards in extracts. Allergists coming under regulations of compounding pharmacies with a new pharmacopoeia. Things like enforcement of less than 1 month shelf life for mixed extracts. All of these drive towards single allergen treatment, especially due to shelf life requirements. We have seen also insurers pressuring to reduce the number of physicians' visits. So the business and the way allergists are doing immunotherapy in the U.S. Is changing and is getting tougher. And I think we believe that it's getting in a direction that favors our kind of product. So we think that we have the perfect complement with a subcutaneous vaccine to help the U.S. allergists to complement and to keep doing and treating patients in the U.S. market. The next one in page number 10, you have seen also many times, just to remind you why Polynex Quattro is going to be a breakthrough product in the U.S., and I don't think we need any comment here, but provided the recent developments in the U.S., maybe the urgency of a product like Polynex Quattro fulfilling these benefits here will be more urgent than it used to be. In the next slide, the U.S. opportunity, as I said, we remain as the only company that can launch within 2-3 years, submit a BLA for a subcutaneous vaccine, so we'll be first to market in the SCIT segment. Also, we are funded to get until phase three and finish the pivotal phase three trial that will allow us to submit the BLA. And just to remind you that the estimated peak sales for this product could be in the order of $300 to $400 million. If we take a look at the clinical developments, in Europe, we have released that, so you know that these results, but we got a really nice dose response for Polynex Quattro Birch, and we've been able to select what we think is the best dose to go into phase three that has already been selected and it's not been disclosed, and it won't be for competitive reasons. But we are very happy the way this study went, the dose response we got, and I think that paves the way for a successful phase three study that will start in 2017. If we look at the dose finding study in the U.S., as you know, we were not able to choose a dose. We did not get conclusive results from this study that was done using mobile challenge chambers. We are still investigating the reasons why that happened, and we are going to proceed to an audit of the CRO in order to try to understand what went wrong or what went in a way that was not expected. But in the meantime, we are moving forward preparing another dose selection study that will use the conjunctival provocation test technique that we have proven successfully in Germany. And if we get FDA agreement on that, we'll proceed in 2017 with this dose-finding study before we go into the final phase three. As mentioned, that will delay the program at around about 12 months, maybe a little bit more, but will not have an impact on the capacity to be first to market in the U.S. In the U.S. market. Acarovac, you know, is the new development in page number 14, and we are now getting into the pipeline area. Is the next generation of vaccines for the perennial segment. We started with the most important allergen in this segment, which is house dust mite. We started with a prototype called Acarovac Plus, that does not contain MPL. Acarovac Plus is to Acarovac Quattro what Polynex is to Polynex Quattro. And we have launched Acarovac Plus as an inpatient product in Spain. We have announced a clinical results, a one-year follow-up study this year, where we are showing 50% improvement in patient symptoms. The product has been approved last week to be marketed in Austria too, so we are going to launch Acarovac Plus in Austria before the end of this year, and we are getting really good sales. In fact, it's now product number one in our Spanish subsidiary. In parallel, we are developing the next generation of this Acarovac Plus prototype, which is Acarovac Quattro. What we pretend with this product is to bring the same platform than Polynex Quattro into the Acarovac segment. And we are aiming to get CTA approval before the end of the year from Spanish authorities. If we go to the Peanut project, really exciting, nothing to add. You know everything about it. We are working on the preclinical model, and we think we'll have some data to share with you before the end of the year. So, as you know, that's a very exciting potential vaccine where we are testing a new adjuvant system, which is MCT plus VLP, And this is what I want to also mention in the next slide, in slide number 16. Let's say 98% of our focus is allergy vaccines, but we are also working on other areas. In the field, we are known sometimes as the adjuvant company or the aluminium-free company. We have some nicknames. Why are we also known as an adjuvant company? Because we were the first company to use adjuvants in this field. And thanks to these adjuvants, thanks to the synergistic combination between MCT, microcrystalline tyrosine, and MPL, we were able to shorten the treatment and provide similar efficacy than other vaccines, but only with 4 injections, as our competitors were using 15 to 20. And this is what makes the Polynex Quadro platform unique, the use of adjuvant systems. So we are the only company in the field that are using really adjuvant systems in a professional way. We are spending a lot of time and effort researching with Zurich University on mechanism of action of the MCT. We, as you know, have long experience with the adjuvant system MCT plus MPL in RSV vaccines, providing us the capacity to be the only ultra-short course aluminium-free vaccine in the market. And we are now testing MCT with virus-like particle, with VLP. This adjuvant system is being tested for the peanut vaccine to develop the Polivac peanut vaccine, but we also have been doing studies in other areas. We've been working with Oxford University in a malaria study using this adjuvant system, and we'll get or inform about the results of this study soon. We have also done a study with Health England, Portland Down, for a flu vaccine. So we are testing these adjuvant systems in different vaccines outside the allergy world. We are not at commercial phase yet, but we want you to know that we are working on it. And the idea is to be able to maybe commercialize adjuvant systems, because we think that we can contribute to improve the efficacy of vaccines, as we did with the allergy vaccines, not only in the allergy field, but also in some other fields in the vaccine business. And another very interesting, very, very interesting area we are working is the symbiotics. As you know, the microbiome, it's been named the last organ. We have 2.2 kilos of bacteria with us, living with us. We have, for one human cell, 10 bacteria living with us. The number of genes and genetic material that these bacteria has with us is 1 to 100. So we have, for one gene that we have in our body, we have 100 genes of this microbiota that live with us for thousands of years. And that's becoming a hot, hot, hot issue. You have seen some companies, public companies, private companies. Obama president has made this a priority, the study of the microbiome. And it's seen as part of the 21st century medicine. All these bugs living with us for thousands of years have a strong influence in the way, especially in the immunological system. Many of them are based on the bowel, thin bowel, interacting continuously with the immunological system. And we have focused on the allergy field. So what we have done is we have selected some strings, and we have started to investigate how these streams are acting as modulators of the immune response. There are many papers there showing evidence. There are some showing evidence. There are some showing inconclusive evidence. But it, I would say that it's increasingly clear, and the experience that we've got selling these products, as we sell them as a food supplements, but with medical promotion and medical endorsement, we have got clearly indications that these products modulate the allergic response. And when you treat a patient with immunotherapy and symbiotics, you get better control of the symptoms and you get a better output. There have been a couple of papers recently talking about how the combination of SLIT treatment with symbiotics improved the output of an immunotherapy treatment. So that this is an area that we are working. We are doing some research. We started this year an observational study with SINGAT, and we'll do a double-blind placebo-controlled study next year with Collagen, which is a symbiotic for atopia. These are sort of a little bit of snapshots of things that we are working with that are not really yet on commercial phase, that but could be very interesting business units in few years within the corporation. And I'll leave now with Nick to go through the financial numbers.
Thank you, Manuel. As we've already announced in our highlights and our trading update, we had revenues for the year of $48.5 million. That's up 12% from 2015 and 19% at a constant currency rate. I'll talk more about the sales in the next slide. Our gross profit was $34.4 million, up 11%. In percentage terms, our gross profit percentage was 71%. Slightly down on 2015. That reflects obviously the weaker euro, which occurred through most of the year. And actually, on a like-for-like basis, our 2016 gross margin percentage was actually a point up at 73%. Our overheads, which include marketing and sales, compliance, and other areas of the support of the business, has increased significantly. We've invested quite heavily in sales and marketing and also compliance. Also within the overhead, there are two FX movements. With all the turbulence in the currency markets, we had a non-cash credit of $2.4 million related to our US balances, cash balances. And we also, partly offsetting that, we had a $2 million charge, which was in relation to our euro hedging position. As Manuel has already mentioned, we've been investing very heavily in our research and development. We spent $16.2 million this year, up from $3.1 million last year. That was on the US dosing trial and the PQ Birch trials in Europe, dosing trial in Europe as well, as well as investment in our pipeline. Overall, pre our R&D, we had an operating profit, as I mentioned before, of $4.3 million against $3.8 million last year. The actual final operating was an operating loss of $12 million against a profit of $0.7 million last year, but obviously that reflects the significant investment in R&D that we've made this year. I move on to the next slide, that's slide 19. This shows our sales at a constant rate. And as you'll see, our gross sales at the constant rate increased by 21% to $55.7 million. That represents not only selling more products, but also price rises in Germany as well. We pay a certain amount of rebates within Germany back to the authorities. So our net revenue at constant rate was $51.5 million, up 19% on the previous year. That reflected, as Manuel has pointed out earlier, a strong growth in Polynex Quattro and Olivac, and also strong growth across all our markets. Although, as Manuel pointed out, the German percentage dropped from 63% of our overall sales to 59% this year, that simply reflects investment we've had in Spain and growth and higher growth in some other markets. As you will see from this slide, the net impact of FX on our 2016 sales line was £3 million. So we're left with a net revenue of £48.5 million. I move on to slide 20, it's on the balance sheet of the company. Overall, the balance sheet of the company is strong. On a like-for-like basis, 2015 against 2016, I probably ought to remind you that we closed 2015 with a euro rate that was something north of 140 and closed our 16 figures, that was on the 30th of June 2016, with a euro rate that was around 120. So there's a significant effect. And obviously, for our overseas assets and liabilities, that will have increased them significantly. There's been a certain amount of investment in property and plant. That's mainly in our manufacturing facility in Worthing. Our trade debtors have increased due to FX and the timing on certain significant receipts. But overall, we sit with a very strong cash position of £23.4 million at the end of the year. That obviously partly reflects the fundraising that we did in November, where we raised £11 million net. And we're also sitting with £3.4 million of debt, which is made up of the debt we inherited from Ala Pharma of £1.7 million, plus a bank loan. We do also have a seasonal overdraft. As you know, our business at the moment is quite seasonal, but we're not. That is an undrawn facility at the moment. Our other liabilities increased due to FX, as I've already mentioned, has generally affected our balance sheet, as well as R&D creditors, that's in relation to all the work we've been doing, and our hedging liability. Moving on to slide 21, which is the funds flow. Overall, we had a net outflow from operations of £11.5 million, which reflects our investment in R&D, against an inflow of £3.6 million last year. As noted already, we obviously had the fundraising in November of last year, which netted us £11 million in cash inflow and the increase in borrowings. And overall, we had an effect of the exchange rates. As I mentioned, the exchange rates right at the end of the year, the euro significantly strengthened, as well as the US dollar against sterling. We finished the year with a cash position of £23.4 million. I'd like to hand back to Manuel now for the summary.
Yeah, well, in summary, I would say we have shown strong trading this financial year, plus 19% in constant currency and 2-point market share gains. We are moving forward all our R&D and regulatory maintenance projects. Very exciting pipeline progressing according to plan. US opportunity delayed about 1 year, but all additional costs will be self-financed, and we'll still be the first company to launch a SCID vaccine in the U.S. market. So all in all, I would say significant progress towards our long-term strategic plans. And the outlook, very exciting. We expect to submit our biological license application in the U.S. Around 2020, according to our assumptions. We expect to be first to market, as we said, with a registered product, and we want to be market leaders in the SCID segment in Europe with around 20% market share by 2020. The Phase 3 PQ Birch trial for Europe will start in 2017. The Phase 1 study for Acabaroa Quattro will start second quarter next year, and we will be actively developing our M&A strategy as we've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years. So we look forward to the future with a lot of excitement and confidence. We expect continued growth and expansion in our European market, which we consider our domestic market. We expect to continue development our pipeline, and we'll be very aware of any geographic expansion opportunity, especially the U.S. one. So that's all from us. Maybe just to remind expected news flow, would you like to do
Okay. In November, we have the Capital Markets Day, and in fact, we have a slide coming up next about that. In quarter four of this year, we're expecting the clinical trials approval for PQ Birch, the phase three trial. And also in quarter four, we're expecting our CTA approval for the Caravac Quattro phase one trials, which Manuel has talked about earlier. In January, we'll be giving a trading update, and our half-year results will be announced in March 2017. Finally, we have a slide to remind people that our Capital Markets Day will be on Wednesday, the 2nd of November, from 12 to 4:30 in the afternoon. Thank you.
And that's it. Thank you very much.